a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
This is the Grace and Truth program. And now we continue these messages of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman, and the song evangelist, Stan Carey. Good enough. That's what you say. In these days when so much is done in a careless way, we hear often said, that's good enough. But to say so doesn't make it so, does it? How often the wrecked train or plane become grim reminders that good enough just won't work. This has turned thinking men to ceaseless inspections, and all must conform to a code. I plead with you all to use that same care in matters which concern your soul forever. In the Bible, we have God's code. To fail to comply with it will be disaster for each one who relies on his good enough theory. The doctrines of God's word are insistent, and his instructions are clear. Only the careless and unconcerned, the good enoughers, will err therein. The plague of human hearts and lives is sin. It wastes the life and it damns the soul. It shuts the door of heaven and it greases the chute to hellfire. In my previous message, I showed you that God's only remedy for sin was the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son. It cleanses and it delivers and it opens the door to heaven for us. Today, I point out to you the directions. Hear them carefully and follow them implicitly, or else the remedy will be your ruin and death. Yes, the blood of Jesus, instead of meeting your need, will be your doom. Does this surprise you? Why should it? Suppose you had a deadly infection and a friend got you a bottle of the only medicine that could cure it. The directions read for you to rub it on the infected part, but instead you don't read the directions and you drink it and it kills you. Or for your violent headache, you ignore the directions and instead of taking 2 tablets, you take 20. It would be your death. Neighbor, no matter how you are suffering, you would take time to read the directions, and with great care you would follow them. Why then do you not read your Bible and from God's word learn how the cleansing, healing, life-giving blood of Christ is to be applied to your heart so that it shall meet your need, bringing you life and not death? Looking out on the religious world today, I see that almost all the religions of earth process people through a round of religious rites and ceremonies and teach them to trust in such religious works to obtain favor with God. Then I see a different group. These have seen that man by his works or religious rites cannot remove his sins, change his life, nor gain entrance to God's heaven. They see, as I preach to you, that such is only by the blood of Jesus, as the Bible says. Thank God for that light and testimony. But in their ranks I see sin and death. Can it be that the doctrine of atonement by blood has led to sin and brought death instead of life? Yes, it is just that. For while the remedy is right, the directions have been ignored. In the early chapters of the Bible, Exodus chapter 12, God presents to us the blood as the shelter from sin's dominion and its penalty of death. God gives the clearest directions as to its use so that it will be effectual. As we consider the time when God would deliver Israel from the slavery of Pharaoh, that's sin's dominion, and from the wickedness of Egypt, that's the world, and he would do it all by blood. We see how the instructions were clear. Take a perfect lamb, kill it. Take the blood in a basin. Taking in hand a bunch of hyssop, put it in the blood, and sprinkle the blood on the 2 side posts and on the upper door post. And when the Lord saw the blood on those 3 places, he would pass over that house. But on all others, he would enter in and slay the firstborn. That was clear and plain. All could understand it. Now suppose Moses wrote out those instructions and sent a copy to each household. God has done that for you, neighbor. In your home are the written directions in God's word, the Bible. Now suppose some Israelites didn't read the directions, but just did their good enough way, just like people do today. We visit house number 1. He had not looked out for a perfect lamb. Any lamb ought to do, so he thought. but as lamb with blemish would not do, so with those who disregard the holy humanity of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. If Jesus had a sinful heart, and if he could have sinned, then his blood could not shelter us nor atone for our sins. Now we pass to house number two. This is a fine, perfect lamb, right there, but it is just tied to the door. That is like people who count Jesus a wonderful teacher, but ignore his sacrificial death, his shed blood of Calvary. Their living lamb will not do. Without the shedding of blood, there is no mercy. In house number three lives one who notices that the lamb must be killed, and so he has killed his lamb. And there sits at his door a basin of blood. What a tragedy! A dead lamb and a dead son too. And so with our modern universalists who teach that Christ has died, so there's no judgment for anyone. All will be saved. This universal salvation idea, I may console you now, but in eternity it will leave you a subject of divine wrath, just like the man who had the basin of blood at his door on that night of judgment in Egypt. The blood shed availed only as it was sprinkled by the hand of personal faith. So we now go to house number four. That man had taken the blood in the basin, and with his own hand he had sprinkled his door. But see, in only one place, the upper doorpost. He skipped over what God said should be first sprinkled, the two side posts. This man had even seen that the blood must be sprinkled, and so he sprinkled his upper doorpost, thus holding up to God the blood as his only confidence. Was this man saved? Thousands of fundamentalists have been so taught they would say, why, certainly he was saved, for God said when he saw the blood he would pass over the house. But I declare unto you that that man was no more safe than the man behind the bloodless door. And so with all such today, as Moses and Aaron on the night of judgment heard the bitter wails of Egyptians as their sons were slain, they caught the sound of an Israelite as he sobs over his dead son. Moses and Aaron rushed to the scene. A son of Abraham is standing by his door that's clearly marked by blood. And then he points to his dead son, and to Moses he cries, and you told me that when God saw the blood, he would pass over my house. For a moment, Moses dumbfounded. Had God failed to keep his word? Impossible. As Moses examines the door, he sees blood on the upper doorpost, but no blood on the side posts. God had said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. That was the remedy. But he has also given the directions which could not be ignored. They shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door. No blood on the two side posts meant death as certainly as no blood at all. When the Israelite with a basin of blood stood in his door and sprinkled the blood on the upper doorpost, that was the blood between God and himself as his only confidence before God. But as he put blood on his two side posts, that was the blood between him and the world, Egypt. Some will put the blood as separating them from the dirty underworld, but that's only one side post. It must be on both, separating from the world with its culture, its religions, and its princes as well as its prodigals. For it was the princes of this world who crucified the Son of God. The whole world is wicked before God. It must be renounced in its entirety. The blood on the two side posts is the message of this Bible verse. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, whereby the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Neighbor, to be saved, you must turn from the world, for it crucified Christ. There can be no compromise. And resigning the world with all that is of it, choose Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You just can't have Christ in the world too. Pilate couldn't, nor can you. If you still hang on to the world, you're a counterfeit Christian, a hypocrite, as James says. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God, and no enemy of God will be in heaven. So if preachers leave out the world question, they're deceiving the people into thinking they're saved because they accept the doctrine of blood atonement. And having never renounced the world that shed that blood, they're still themselves enemies of God and not his children nor in his kingdom. Right now, neighbor, make your decision. Christ or the world, God's son or your sin. The sin question and the world question dare not be ignored. I beseech you to renounce the world. Let the world know that you are crucified to it by the blood of Calvary, and take up your cross to follow Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Then and only then will his blood avail for you. Begone all this good enough religion. It deceives and damns the souls of men. God's directions are clear. To ignore them is death. The blood that was meant for your salvation will be your condemnation. One who continues in his sins while he claims to be a Christian is a counterfeit and a hypocrite. And one who claims to be saved while he loves the world is a traitor in the camp of Christianity. To be a real Christian and to be saved by the blood of Christ means to first repent of your sins and to renounce the world. Now don't think it is so complicated. It wasn't for the Israelite. He just put the blood on three places. One would not do, and so would you. First, turn from all your sin to Jesus, for him to save you from your sins. Second, turn from the world and all that is of it to be on the Lord's side. Third, and then hold up to God as your only plea, your only hope, the blood of Jesus. Then and only then will the Lord pass over you, and you will be safe and secure forevermore, saved by the blood of Jesus. No good enough will do. The blood of Jesus is the sure and only remedy. But unless you follow the directions of God's word and comply with the terms, that blood will avail nothing for you. I hope you will now act on the testimony the Lord has given you, that the full blessings of the blood of Jesus will be yours today. Amen. When two are married, they each pledge to the other their sincere purpose and decision to forsake all others and to cleave only to their mate till death parts them. If that is essential to theirs being blessed married life, need you wonder that God demands of you that you must forsake your love sin and you must resign forever the world with its lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, if he will unite you forever to his holy and beloved Son, Jesus Christ? So stop right where you are and count the cost of being a real Christian, one who belongs to Christ and bears his name. It will cost you your sins, your sinful habits, sinful associations, sinful desires, and sinful talk too. All must go, for no question is so big and none so vital in God's salvation as is the sin question. Hear God's word about this. Our Lord Jesus Christ gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world. How then can you cleave to your sins and have Christ and salvation too? And how can you love Jesus and love the world that murdered him too? It is impossible. Neighbor, as you stand like the Israelite in your door with a basin of blood in your hand, you discern that only the blood of Christ can atone for your judgment-bound soul, and so you strike your upper doorpost. That is the blood between God and you. Now you hesitate as you're counting the cost. Don't dare be a hypocrite and pretend to be what you're not. But counting the cost, may you, with real decision, strike the blood on each of your side posts and thus take your stand before God and man to be, by the grace of God, dead unto sin and crucified unto the world. And then go forth to put your faith into action as you cry to God to deliver you every day from your old sins and to enable you to be separate from the world and all that is of it. With that decision and that appeal to God, you will be saved forevermore, saved by the blood of Jesus. And the Holy Spirit will dwell within your body to empower you to overcome sin and to walk in complete separation from this world, separated unto Christ. This is real conversion. This is Bible Christianity. Is it your choice today? If so, then get alone with God and confess to him that you have counted the cost and you will have the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Lord and your Savior, saving you from your sins and delivering you from this world. Neighbor, I'm telling you, that moment alone with God will be the greatest event of your life. when you yielded to Jesus Christ to be your all in all, and he claimed you as his own forever. May this be your experience today. Amen. This is another message of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman.